The race to be the next Maryland Attorney General has gotten progressively more heated. Three Democrats, all from the legislature, are vying to be the state's lawyer. With the primary just days away, WYPR's Christopher Connolly has a look at the race.
If you were to post a job description for the Maryland Attorney General, it might start something like this.
The Attorney General is a lawyer for the governor, the lawyer for the General Assembly, for all state agencies.
Larry Gibson is a professor at the University of Maryland's Francis King Carey School of Law. The office plays a key role in protecting the environment and consumers. It tackles antitrust and civil rights issues. And since the office is essentially the state's biggest law firm, the candidate must have good judgment and good management skills. Oh, and be willing to campaign for the job every 4 years.
It's an office that is elected, but is expected after being elected to be fairly non-political.
But that hasn't stopped the candidates from touting political agendas they'd pursue. Delegate Aisha Braveboy has positioned herself as the defender of civil rights and social justice. At a candidates' debate, Braveboy said the state has failed to adequately fund its historically black colleges and universities, or to protect programs at HBCUs from duplication by other state schools.
We cannot continue to run a dual system of higher education in our state. It's wrong, it's unconstitutional, it violates the Civil Rights Act, and as a progressive state, Maryland must and should take the lead, and as Attorney General, I will counsel the next governor to do so.
The two-term delegate from Prince George's County is well-regarded in Annapolis, but she's also the greenest of the candidates. She hasn't raised enough money to run a competitive statewide campaign, and she's dwindled to single digits in recent polls. So the competition has really come down to two men, State Senator Brian Frosch and Delegate John Cardin. And no, not the junior senator from Maryland. That's Ben Cardin. He's John Cardin's uncle. Though Uncle Ben has thrown his weight behind his nephew's campaign.
I know that his priorities deal with our children and future generations, whether it's in education, whether it's in health care, and particularly as it relates to safety issues.
The senator was introducing U.S. Congressman Dutch Ruppersberger, who says he endorsed John Cardin for his focus on solutions to high-tech problems.
John understands the threats of today and the threats of tomorrow.
This is the crux of Cardin's campaign message, that he's the best candidate to take on 21st century issues. But his message has been muddied by critics who say he's exhibited poor judgment, like when he used a Baltimore police boat and helicopter in a grandiose wedding proposal 5 years ago. Cardin's attendance record during the last legislative session has also sparked controversy. Cardin skipped 75% of his committee votes and then claimed the full amount of a food stipend legislators get for the session. Cardin says he missed the committee votes for personal reasons.
My wife was pregnant and was going through a rocky first trimester, and I was committed to going home to her, and I made sure that I did it, making sure that no bill was impacted by what I did.
Cardin says you can't just look at committee votes. You have to look at all of the votes taken during the session, a session he characterized as the best he's ever had.
Dealing with revenge porn, dealing with patent trolls, we continued our fight on cyberbullying that we started last year, and we had a tremendous year in spite of people wanting to see me fail.
Cardin has led the race since the beginning, and it's hard to deny that the power of the Cardin name has helped push the Baltimore County delegate to the top of the polls. But Cardin says he's more than just a name.
It's only given me an opportunity to springboard into my own career and my own reputation.
Cardin's chief competitor, Brian Frosch, has been working to build his own name. On a recent Saturday, Frosch was at the Waverly Farmers Market in Baltimore, introducing himself to anyone who would stop and talk to him. Delegate Kurt Anderson, who represents Waverly, played something of a hype man.
By the way, Brian is a friend of mine. He's running for Attorney General, and I hope you'll support him. He's helped Baltimore City in many different ways. I think he'll make a great Attorney General.
You think so?
Yes, ma'am.
Frosch is reserved by nature, but he says he likes campaigning. Still, in dress pants and a dress shirt, his pitch feels more timid than glad-handing.
Could I say hi? I'm Brian Frosch. I'm a Democrat running for Attorney General. How are you all?
But if he seems a bit out of his element here, Kurt Anderson says Frosch is absolutely comfortable working on creative solutions to the state's problems.
He has a a remarkable reputation in the legislature. One of the most ethical people there, one of the brightest lawyers there, and fair to both sides.
Dozens of fellow lawmakers have endorsed Frosch, as well as the governor and both living former attorneys general. So have major newspapers and pretty much all of the state's powerful environmental, labor, and progressive organizations.
When people get to know me, when they get to know who I am, what I've accomplished, I think they'll find that the choice is an easier one.
As chairman of the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee, he's overseen dozens of key pieces of legislation. He says one of the bills he's most proud of came at the beginning of his legislative career, a bill that set up recycling programs across the state. The other was last year's Firearms Safety Act, one of the strongest gun control laws in the country.
We were inches away from losing big pieces of that bill, from losing the bill itself. We walked in onto the Senate floor not sure that we had the votes and ended up with a couple extra.
But nearly 30 years in the legislature hasn't gotten Frosch much in the way of name recognition. He's raised nearly $1 million, which has allowed him to buy ads that play up his experience and endorsements and compete with the famous name of his opponent.
And while Frosch wrote laws protecting women from domestic violence and children from predators, the other candidates are not in Frosch's league.
Recent polls show the gap between Frosch and John Cardin shrinking, but St. Mary's College political science professor Todd Eberle says the Cardin name has proven difficult for Frosch to compete with.
On paper, there really is no contest with regard to who is sort of better prepared and has the experience necessary to be attorney general. But he has just been unable to overcome the power of the Cardin name.
But Eberle says some 40% of voters are still undecided, and turnout is expected to be low. So the race is far from settled. For 88.1 WYPR, I'm Christopher Connolly.
Some 2% of Maryland's eligible voters have already turned out to vote in the primary during early voting, and there are still 3 days left to cast an early ballot. Early voting centers in all Maryland counties and in Baltimore City open from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. today, tomorrow, and Thursday. If you need help finding an early voting center, we've got a link on our website, wypr.org. That's where you'll find more election coverage, wypr.org/elections.